The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
So, Tim, I was wondering if you could expand on that. What are the issues that you think would lead to this case never going to trial?
Well, the biggest issue, Andy, is, of course, prosecutorial misconduct. This is a case where you have prosecutors who have consistently demonstrated lack of ethics and, you know, willingness to lie to federal judges in sealed proceedings, willingness to, in the grand jury, openly suggest to the jurors that they may take the invocation of constitutional rights as evidence of guilt. These are just some of the things that we saw.
Tim, can I just interrupt you? With respect to the grand jury, how do you know what happened and what was represented with respect to the grand jury, since that's usually secret?
Because I was in the room. It happened right in front of me. And I do not believe for one second that these prosecutors acted totally ethically and properly throughout all of these other witnesses, and then the moment that I walked in the room, they just totally dissembled and started acting unethically in my presence. If anything, they would have acted on their best behavior when I was in the room.
So, Tim, what exactly did you see, and what...
45 separate times. I know it sounds like I made that number up, but 45 separate times they tried to get into attorney-client privileged information. And frequently, when the question was asked about conversations between attorney and client, they would turn to the grand jury and say, so you're refusing to provide that information to the grand jury. And at a certain point, a further exchange ensued where the prosecutor says, well, isn't it possible to waive the privilege? And if President Trump is being so cooperative, why won't he waive the privilege and allow you to tell the jury about his conversations with you? That's totally improper. Andy, I know that you know if that happened during a jury trial, it'd be a mistrial right there.
Tim, I'd love to keep talking about this with...
I don't think that's the that's what the panel was looking for there on MSNBC. How do you know? How do you know what was going on in the grand jury? Well, I was there. I happened to be in the room, and I witnessed it 45 times as they tried to dig into attorney-client privilege. And as you know, Andy, that's Andy Weissman, that's Mueller's pit bull. As you know, if this would have happened in an actual trial, it would be a mistrial right away. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this show at trumpetdaily.com. Just go to trumpetdaily.com every weekday morning at 11 a.m. in the central time zone of the United States. You can watch it live or you can watch it later. And you can also get to those podcasts at our website as well. We also have a Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble and search for The Trumpet Daily, and you can watch the live stream there, or you can watch the old shows as well. So much to get to on today's show. Last night, we had the biggest audience that we've had thus far for the Celtic Throne tour. That was in Virginia Beach. They actually had some of the performers were out promoting the show about an hour, hour and a half before the show, just outside the theater. So hopefully that led to some people going into the show at the very last minute. I think there were about 900 people. And, of course, the troupe is now on the road, and they're heading way up to Providence, Rhode Island. So if you're in the northeast of the United States, Monday is your opportunity. I think it's Monday, isn't it? Monday, Providence, Rhode Island. It's after that, it's Roanoke, Providence, June 19th. And then Roanoke, Virginia. So they went from Virginia up to Providence, or they're en route to Providence today. And then they'll be heading back to Virginia. Those are the two shows next week, Providence and Roanoke. And if all goes well, hopefully I'll be there in Roanoke, Virginia, as well as the show after that in Raleigh, North Carolina. So they're actually coming down to the last few weeks of the tour. We've got the last two shows, of course, here in Edmond at the beautiful Armstrong Auditorium. It's just been recarpeted, by the way, so it's going to be even more gorgeous than usual. That's on July 9th and July 16th, and those tickets are going fast. So if you want to go to Celtic Throne, the fourth season of Celtic Throne. By the way, we've got some audio feedback coming to you, and every time I hear it, I think, okay, it can't get any better than that. But we have audio feedback from not last night's show, but the Richmond show on Monday night. So we'll play that for you later on today's show. So you listen to the attorney, that man there that was on MSNBC. He's a former Trump attorney, and he says, if anything, you know, they're going to kind of up their game a little bit once the Trump team walks into the grand jury room. But I witnessed it myself. All of this wrongdoing, all of this illegal activity, you know, you hope anyway. Again, there's some question as to how committed the attorneys are for Donald Trump. Alan Dershowitz had a piece how that the just attorneys in general are being intimidated into not helping the Trump team. That's happening in the United States of America. These people, they really want justice, don't they? Trying to intimidate lawyers not to work for Donald Trump. Or in the case of yesterday's show, when Trump speaks, just blot him out. Just don't even let him talk. Jesse Waters, by the way, he picked up on that theme last night on his show. Listen to clip 3.
The former president was arrested by his rival for the first time in American history, and he spoke about it for the very first time. There's nothing more newsworthy than that. But the media doesn't want to cover the news. They want to cover that up. And this isn't about misinformation. Rachel Maddow broadcasts dangerous misinformation for a living. She said Trump colluded. She said COVID vaccines stopped transmission. She said Hunter's laptop was a hoax. This isn't about protecting viewers from misinformation, because every politician says stuff that isn't true. You can't censor one and let everybody else speak live. But that's what they're going to do. That's how the media is going to cover Trump this election. They're just not going to cover him. They're going to skew him for you. And this has never been done before in American media history. And this is because the media doesn't trust you, the American viewer, to make up your own mind. You're not smart enough to know what's true and what's not. Rachel and Jake are smarter than you. So they'll censor Trump and then tell you what to think afterwards.
That's Jesse Waters from his show last night. Nothing. Think about it. The former president of the United States of America, indicted by Barack Obama's DOJ. It's never happened in the history of the United States. There's nothing, as Jesse points out, there's nothing more newsworthy than that former president then speaking after his arraignment. And yet, as I covered on yesterday's show, go back and watch the podcast, Jake, Rachel, all of them said, we're not going to show it. Because we know in advance that he's going to lie. He's going to spew lies. And so we're not even going to give him a voice. They know, as I said yesterday, that's some kind of will worship. Jesse points out how that PBS, while they showed the president's remarks, they put on this disclaimer at the bottom of the screen. Listen to this, clip 4.
Look at the bottom of the screen. Ready? Experts warn that inflammatory rhetoric from elected officials or people in power can prompt individual actors to commit acts of violence. Violent rhetoric has escalated in online forums and far-right militia groups since Trump's federal indictment. This is a taxpayer-funded news station. They're using your money and telling you that the guy that you voted for is a dangerous tyrant. This is already not a free and fair election. The media is now hiding both presidential candidates from you. They're hiding Biden so you can't evaluate him, and they're hiding Trump so you can't be persuaded by him. What kind of presidential election are we going to have where the American voter isn't going to be able to see or hear from either candidate? The media has become the most dangerous thing in the United States.
Wow. That's great. That's great right there. He's exactly right. They hide the Biden crimes, and then they hide Donald Trump. They don't want you to hear from Trump because he speaks too much truth, because he blows up their narratives. So they just hide them both and create their own narrative and tell you what to believe. This is how you're supposed to see whatever it is that they discussed that day. This is how you're supposed to view the topic. How dangerous is this for the Republic? As I said earlier this week, how does a Republic survive with these kinds of corrupt criminal actors working at CNN, working at MSNBC? Listen to Maria Bartiromo. She's talking here about the media and its coverage or lack of coverage with respect to the Biden crimes, the Biden crime family crimes, the criminal activity, the criminal enterprise that is the Biden crime family. This is clip number 5.
The Media Research Center finds that over a 4-day span last week, CBS, NBC, and ABC's morning and evening shows spent 0 seconds on the Biden bribery allegations. Meanwhile, they spent nearly 5 hours on the indictment of President Trump.
The timing tells you everything you need to know. And we've made this point all week. The timing, the indictment comes out on the same day. The same day that all these House members are finally able to read the 1023 that says Biden received $5 million to change U.S. policy. That's treason. That's bribery. The racketeering of this crime family with the 20 LLCs set up all over the world so that they can receive money from the CCP, from the Russians, from the Ukrainians. And it gets zero coverage, 0 seconds. Can this really be true? Are you serious? You don't even bring it up once? And then you blot out Donald Trump? It's straight out of America Under Attack. It's the power of these people, of this administrative state, which includes the media, because they're like the White House spokespeople. The power that these people wield, it's staggering, as I read to you yesterday. If you don't have a copy of this book, make sure you call the 800 number. Our operators are standing by, 1-866-930-3024. Listen again to Maria Bartiromo from her show either this morning or earlier this week, clip 6.
Well, first of all, I'm not involved in either of the committees that are dealing with this, but we did get a briefing from James Comer, who you're having on later this morning. And the allegations are actually very serious and I believe verified by the whistleblowers. This is not just a rumor now. This is now verified. And I have to tell you that this may raise to the level of treason, because the president should act in the interest of the United States of America. He obviously is not. Now, to the media coverage, that's what we expect. The media is in the hip pocket of the progressive left, and it is very hard for conservatives today in America, absent Fox and a few other specialized media outlets, to get any news. So how does the American public get their news? Your worldview depends on where you get your news today.
This is why Obama, every time he opens his mouth, he goes after Fox, because they want total control. And of course, Fox is more in the, I mean, they're more in the neighborhood of rhinos than they are in MAGA. But they want total control of the narrative. That's why when Trump speaks in New Jersey, he's to be blotted out. We're not going to listen to any of it. He just tells too many lies. Jake Tapper last night lamenting the fact that he can't wrap his mind around all the lies. Really, really, that's my battle every morning as I hear these clips and as I look at the coverage. 0 seconds on the bribery scheme involving the president of the United States. Fake one at that. But the fake president of the United States, there's 0 seconds set aside for him receiving a $5 million payment. Instead, what do we get? A steady diet of documents, papers, pool leaks. It's just crazy. These people, they've turned their minds over, so many of them, they've turned their minds over to the devil. Trump derangement syndrome. I mean, that's almost sugarcoating it these days. How many of these people are just possessed? They're certainly coming under strong demonic influence. 0 seconds for the Biden bribery scheme Unbelievable. This is Jim Jordan. He's also that last guy there on Maria's show. He's a Republican from Texas. This is Jim Jordan on Fox earlier this week as well, clip 7.
What I do know is when I read the document, one thing that jumped out to me was the confidential human source is telling the foreign national, he says, hey, you might want to stay away from the Bidens or shady folks, is basically what he said. And then the confidential, the foreign national says back to the source, he says, not to worry, we use so many bank accounts, they'll never find us. And I thought the key line, David, was he said, and we never paid the big guy directly. Right. Now, that's the second time someone's used that term. And this time it's someone who's on the paying end. The other time we heard about it was someone on the receiving end, a partner of Hunter Biden. So we have people on both sides of the equation using that same term. And it sort of raises the fundamental question. If the big guy isn't Joe Biden, who is it?
Well, to the point of the many bank accounts and the suggestion by that informant that it's gone through so many different bank accounts, it would take 10 years to unravel a thing.
Right.
Then you had the president joking about it at that question was shouted to him about where the money. He said, where's the money? He joked about where's the money. I mean, it's almost like he knows that it's so well hidden that they're never going to find it.
Yeah, it's like he's taunting the press, those that have the courage to actually go there. Most of them don't. Most of them just turn a blind eye to it. They give it 0 seconds on the big networks. But when there is a question asked, he just laughs. He did it again yesterday, Joe Biden. Are there audio recordings with you involving this bribe? And he just turns around and he just laughs it off. They laugh in your face because they're never held to account. Because they know. They know CBS, ABC, NBC. They know MSNBC. They know CNN are going to give it 0 seconds. Zero. Not even a mention. Because they've got to talk about boxes and documents. It's unbelievable what they obsess over. And this whole indictment, it's based on papers. And it may be that the main one that triggered it all was the letter that Obama wrote to Donald Trump right during the end when Trump was transitioning into the Oval Office. My father refers to that letter in this book. But if Obama's in his letter, if he's mentioning the threat that is North Korea and nuclear threat from Kim Jong-un, that may have been the setup. You can see the devil operating exactly that way to set up Donald Trump. I'll send this letter. It'll be, it'll have to be classified because we're talking about, international relations. We're talking about America's enemies. This case in 2012, I went through it yesterday on the program, that Wall Street Journal piece written by the guy from Judicial Watch that tried to go after those Clinton tapes. 79 tapes, Bill Clinton, just recording interviews all through his presidency. It spans 8 years during the 90s. And then he hid the tapes in his sock drawer so that when he moved out of the White House, he could help himself to the tapes and take all the information with him. Information that included classified material. Oh, yes. And so Judicial Watch, once the content of those tapes came out in book form, they took the DOJ to court, or NARA, the records agency for the government, because they wanted those documents released. The judge in that case, as I said on yesterday's show, she was appointed by Barack Hussein Obama. Sam went through that ruling yesterday. It's from 2012, just a little over 10 years, 11 years ago. And what this Obama-appointed judge determined was that the Presidential Records Act allows for the president to decide. He has authority. He's the executive branch. He can decide what's classified, what's not classified, and he can decide what to take with him and what not to take with him out of the White House. That's what she determined. That's really the big takeaway from that ruling in 2012. An Obama judge said it. She said NARA has no ability to compel presidents to turn over documents. That's right. This is a direct quote from that ruling, this 2012 ruling, this opinion. It says, NARA does not have the authority to designate materials as presidential records. NARA does not have the tapes in question. Again, this was over the Clinton tapes. And NARA lacks any right, duty, or means to seize control of them. So Clinton has the tapes. He's out of office, and NARA doesn't have the power or the authority to go get them. Listen, an Obama judge ruling in 2012. It says the PRA authorizes NARA to invoke the same enforcement mechanism embodied by the Federal Records Act, which begins with the request to the Attorney General to institute an action for the recovery of the missing records. You know what? The mistake that Trump's people made when NARA was having all of its communications with Trump as he left to Mar-a-Lago, the mistake they made was even cooperating one bit with NARA. They have no authority. But once you invite them in, and then, you know, the FBI gets involved, and you have all of this dialogue, that what they do is set you up. They did it with General Flynn. Now, I'm sure there's certain instances where, you know, you pretty much have to cooperate. They have so much power. But this was a former president. And there was a previous ruling that basically said NARA has no ability to compel a former president to turn over documents that he took with him. That's not me. That's an Obama judge. How about that? You think they're going to make way for that little tidbit of information on the big networks? You think that's going to get 10, 20, 30 seconds of coverage? Not a chance. This was the New York Times back in January. It says, but people who have studied the handling of government documents say there is little in the law that provides the archives the power to require compliance. This is a few months ago, even the New York Times. It says, if there are violations of law, they can be referred to the Justice Department for action, said Stephen Aftergood, a specialist of government secrecy and Federation of American Scientists. But NARA itself has no police force ability to enforce its own actions. Trump was cooperative. Trump was listening. He put these boxes in a storage facility, add a padlock here, make sure it's secure. You know, the place is surrounded by Secret Service. Quite unlike the garage where Biden stored his classified documents that he stole. That's right. He just helped himself to classified documents from the SCIF, a secure facility. He just took them with him. That's how they operate. That's what they do. It's interesting, this, just going into the merits of this case. Listen to Rachel Maddow. This is from her show last night. She alluded to this earlier this week, saying that, you know, well, maybe Trump and his people should, you know, trigger negotiations for a plea deal where they just agree that he's not going to run for office. You know, she said the quiet part out loud. And then she reiterated that same point last night. This is clip one.
What would Donald Trump do to avoid jail time? I literally suppose that he would do anything. I mean, this is a crime he could only commit because he was in high public office. Spiro Agnew used that as a get out of jail free card. It was not just that he was vice president. It was that prosecutors assumed he was about to become president because Nixon was teetering. They were right. And in order to keep Agnew out, they traded him essentially jail time for his resignation.
The thing I think's interesting about this line of reasoning is if the case, now she's talking about how that this Jack Smith indictment, it's an open and shut case, easy. He's going to go off to prison and jail time. If that's true, then why not just say, hey, let's just let it play out. Trump's, the walls have finally closed in on Donald Trump. He is going to jail. I think they're proposing these kinds of ideas because they know how weak the case is. They know this is a political hit job. I mean, the other day when I played that kind of a clip for you, I mentioned that it reveals that it's all politics. They just don't want him to run again. But I think it also reveals that they know they've got a weak case. And you add to that the fact that Eileen Cannon, she's the judge presiding over this case in southern Florida, appointed by Donald Trump. And of course, you've seen just how the radical left has responded to that. They're, in their minds, they're not going to be able to get a fair trial because it's a Trump appointee. We've got to get a radical judge presiding over this too. This is the way the communists reason. This is from Conservative Brief. It says, on the heels of former President Donald Trump's arraignment on federal charges related to his handling of classified documents. Think about this again. Given all that's happening with the Biden crime family, handling classified documents at Mar-a-Lago, that's what this is all about. This is what the coverage has been now for a week. All perfectly timed by the dear leader, Barack Hussein Obama. You know, another thought I had this morning, by the way, I don't want to barrage you with so much, but you wonder if to cover up his own crimes, if Obama is having to defend Joe Biden longer than he was anticipating. There have certainly been some indications in recent months that they were about to throw Biden under the bus and get someone else in there, Gavin Newsom or maybe Michelle Obama. There was even an article, I think it was an American Thinker today, this guy speculating on the Obama crime family, on what he set up to line his pockets. If Biden goes down with the bribery scheme, the racketeering scheme, then all of that happened under Obama's watch. You wonder if they're going to have to stay with Biden, a little bit longer just to try to cover their tracks. Look at how much is being exposed. So everything's about moving documents. That's what the talking heads want you to fixate on. Just moving boxes. That's right. It says Letitia James, New York's attorney general, announced an update on the case filed against him by Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. It says, speaking to MSNBC's Alex Wagner on the panel, it says here, James said that the federal case will take precedence over both Bragg's case, a case she has filed against the Trump Organization, and a potential case in Fulton County, Georgia. So the big daddy is the indictment that's being presided over by this Eileen Cannon, the federal case. The DOJ's attack on Donald Trump. It says, in all likelihood, I believe that my case, as well as D.A. Bragg and the Georgia case, will unfortunately have to be adjourned pending the outcome of the federal case. So it all depends upon the scheduling of this particular case. I know there's going to be a flurry of motions, motion to dismiss, discovery issues, all of that. So it really all depends. Obviously, all of us want to know what Judge Cannon is going to do and whether or not she's going to delay this particular case. That's another way of saying that Judge Cannon, assuming she has the courage to stand against the onslaught coming from the radical left saying, you've got to recuse, or the 11th Circuit has got to remove her. If she stands against that and presides over this DOJ indictment, this case against Donald Trump, she has quite a lot of power, even with the timing of things. As you know, I mean, we're less than a year and a half, 17, 18 months away from the next presidential election. And of course, the people on the communist left, they want to see this all speeding along so that he's got shackles on his ankles. So that he's in jail and he can't possibly get out there and campaign and run for president and so on. The bad orange man, I mean. But this particular woman, I mean, it's It's like we've said, ready for war. I mean, this is lawfare. This is lawfare. And have you noticed, by the way, there's quite a lot of commentary out there saying that this is war. This is war. I mean, this was 6 months ago. It's hard to believe. It's already the middle of June. This is the January issue of the Trumpet magazine. Ready for war. I mean, that seemed like a pretty provocative headline at the time. Now you're just seeing it. I've got an article later in my notes. There's a subhead that this is war. Trump's declared war. The radical left has declared war. If you haven't subscribed to the Trumpet magazine, make sure you call our operators and request your free one-year subscription. No cost, no obligation. It's completely free. 1-866-930-3024. I've got a lot more to get to, but why don't we take a short break right about now so that we can make sure that we divide the program up by the wonderful Celtic Throne feedback from Richmond earlier this week. When we come back from the promo, you'll get to hear the feedback from the audience that saw the show live in Richmond, Virginia. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The developed nations have made awesome progress. They have produced a highly mechanized world, providing every luxury, modern convenience, and means of pleasure. Yet they are cursed with crime, violence, injustice, sickness and disease, broken homes and families. At the same time, more than one half the world is living in illiteracy, abject poverty, filth and squalor. Violence and destruction are rapidly multiplying. Many ask, why, if God exists, does he allow so much violence and human suffering? To understand the reason behind this astonishing paradox, request a complimentary copy of Mystery of the Ages. We were born into this 20th century world as it is. We take it for granted, but we can't explain it. It's like viewing a movie at a point already near the end. We see what is occurring at that point, but not having seen it from the beginning and not knowing how events developed to the point of viewing, we simply cannot understand what we are seeing. Mystery of the Ages transports you back to the beginning of the movie, to the foundation of this present evil world. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
I thought the show was phenomenal. We absolutely loved it. It's one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Cool.
I loved it.
I just love it. I can't believe the multi-talented nature of all of these performers. It just blows my mind to see them come out and do thing after thing after thing. Really cool. Yeah. And I love the message, too, so thank you for having us.
Amazing. Fabulous. Couldn't be more impressed with the group of young people. I mean, very professionally done and exciting. I was in tears when the little kids came on. So, yep, very good, very good.
I loved it so much. I think it was awesome.
Unbelievable. Just unbelievable.
The kids are amazing. Everyone on the stage was amazing. I'm going to tell all my friends and family. I want to see it again.
They were phenomenal, and I would come and see them time and time and time again. I really would.
Yeah, I would too. I've seen Riverdale 3 times. They were very, very, very good.
Yeah, awesome. Very impressive.
Stunning. Wow. Amazing. That was speechless. It was really good.
And I think everybody in Norfolk, Providence, Roanoke, and Nashville should go see it.
Terrific. Stunning. Beautiful. We love it. We enjoyed every minute of it.
Best I've ever seen. It's just awesome.
Makes me want to go dance.
Appreciate the patriotism and the message. Just seemed very inspiring. I'm totally going to recommend it to people.
There you go. That's feedback. Wonderful feedback from Richmond, Virginia, from Monday night's show. Last night, they performed in front of 900 people in Virginia Beach. And then Monday, don't forget about Monday, way up in Providence, Rhode Island. If you're in the Northeast, I know there's lots of traffic and quite a few people that live in the Northeast, but if you can make your way to Providence, I think they've already sold about 700-800 seats for that show as well. So it's going to be another big show on Monday, and then back to Virginia for next Thursday's performance. That's down in Roanoke, Virginia, before the troupe makes its way over to Raleigh, North Carolina. So again, CelticThrone.com gives you all the information that you need to follow the show and to participate in the show, as the audience always does at a Celtic Throne performance. So this Eileen Cannon, as I say, she's perhaps America's most powerful judge at the moment. I mean, she could dismiss it, I suppose, because of all of this illegal behavior from the DOJ's attorneys inside the grand jury. If she doesn't dismiss, she could just stretch it out. She could, there's all kinds of scenarios that could play out here. She could recuse herself, for all we know. But she's in a pretty solid position of power at the moment. Listen to Andy McCarthy. He was on with Hugh Hewitt. The talk radio host, talking about different scenarios with respect to this indictment and how it plays out in court. Clip 8.
But what about the 31 documents?
Well, this is the very interesting question, and it gets also to how you get this case to trial and why I don't think they could possibly get it to trial prior to the next election, the next presidential election. In most cases, when you are dealing with classified information, you're dealing with it because of the substance of the documents.
They're going to have to prove the documents put the country at risk. Not that the classification existed, but that the documents themselves were dangerous. Does that get argued and decided before the trial begins?
Yes, and this is the reason why I don't think they can get the case to trial.
You haven't heard these questions asked because most of the cable media doesn't really want to tell you how long this is going to take, and it's going to take a long time.
That's right. They don't want to tell you the truth. They just want to tell you that Trump is convicted, that Trump is guilty. So they don't give any time to Trump. They're certainly not going to give any time to the Biden bribery scheme. 0 seconds for all of these things that are newsworthy. It's like Jesse said, as far as newsworthy items, the first ever ex-president or former president indicted, and the news media will not give him a voice to answer for it? 0 seconds. 0 seconds for that. 0 seconds for the Biden crime family. 0 seconds for anything that doesn't fit within their narrative. Just keep to our narrative. We'll tell you all that you need to know. The regime media. Listen again to Andy McCarthy on with Hewitt, clip 9.
It's just not going to be impossible to get it out of the electoral process, is it?
I agree with that, Hugh, and this is why I was very surprised that this went this way. I really thought that the case would be front and center about obstruction. And I thought really that he might, indict it lean and mean and just do the obstruction charges and try to, sort of tiptoe around all the classified information stuff. Maybe he decided he couldn't do that. And as long as they were going to trial, he threw the kitchen sink at him. But all those, that kind of a decision has consequences, obviously.
Will the judge take into consideration that the election is underway and just simply declare up front, we're not doing this till 2025?
That could happen, Hugh, but, if I'm the judge, I have to factor in the fact that this is not the only thing on Trump's dance card, right?
When is your best guess on when the trial of the federal side, the earliest it could begin?
If the trial happens, it would be in 2025 sometime.
So isn't justice supposed to stay out of politics? I do not understand why Merrick Garland greenlighted this.
Yeah, well, I think justice, it's a very tough question, Hugh, because being a candidate for office cannot be immunity from prosecution for serious crimes, But at the same time, it's killing this country to have every single election cycle the Justice Department and the FBI in the middle of our electoral politics. It's just destroying the country.
One point that we have made in recent months, even going back to the Mar-a-Lago raid, and of course you see it in the poll numbers that just keep going up, as we covered on yesterday's show. But more and more, these attacks from the communist left, they're backfiring because they're acts of such desperation that this is an indictment that has no teeth. It's an indictment about handling papers. That's how they're trying to take down Donald Trump, for handling papers. And if you, well, we could get into the two-tiered standard of justice regarding others and the way they've handled papers. But this is what they're pinning, and this case takes precedence. What happens? You can see why they're so desperate to get Cannon removed, to get a radical judge in there, an activist judge. And you can see also how big of a mistake it might have been to even have it argued in Florida, as opposed to their favored D.C. courts or Manhattan. This is from the model prosecution memo for Trump classified documents. It says this model, and again, this is basically Andy Weissman. You saw him in the opening montage. He's there going back and forth with the former Trump lawyer, pretending to be neutral, just like John Brennan does, just like Clapper does, just like Peter Strzok. These are just all Obama's hit people, Obama's pit bulls. And Weissman, for his part, I mean, he's out there basically giving Jack Smith the marching orders. Here's how you go after Trump. And now he's coming out and saying, here's how you can maybe move the venue. Get it out of Judge Cannon's court. It says this model prosecution memorandum assesses potential charges federal prosecutors may bring against former President Donald Trump. It focuses on those emanating from his handling of classified documents. Later on, it says the authors have decades of experience as federal prosecutors and defense lawyers, as well as other legal expertise. Based upon this experience and the analysis that follows, we conclude that Trump should and likely will be charged. So they're looking for ways to try to expand this, to try to get it into other venues. At the Atlantic, this is also by Weissman and Ryan Goodman. It says here, the legal uncertainties that surround bringing charges in Florida for disseminating, that last article, I should clarify, that was what they wrote previously, suggesting that Jack Smith go after Trump for this, this, and this. Here's why the indictment's coming. And of course, right on cue, here comes the indictment, timed perfectly with the Biden bribery scheme revelation. This one here, this is from The Atlantic, just yesterday. The legal uncertainties that surround bringing charges in Florida for dissemination of national security secrets in Bedminster leaves open the possibility that charges might be brought in New Jersey. A backup plan of sorts for Smith. This is Andy Weissman. He's the commentator, the good commentator on MSNBC. It says here, if Eileen Cannon, the Florida judge assigned to the case, were to seek to pocket veto the charges before her by, say, scheduling the trial for after the 2024 presidential election, the special counsel would be able to sidestep her tactic by proceeding with charges in New Jersey. So they're already anticipating that the trial might not even happen, but you just heard it from McCarthy. They're already anticipating, we've got to get it before the presidential election. The goal here is to prevent him from being president. So here comes Weissman with his idea at The Atlantic. Hey, Jack Smith, are you listening? Mueller's pit bull, he's giving you the ideas. Go to New Jersey now. What about Bedminster? It says here, in fact, the Miami indictment conspicuously excludes many facts surrounding Trump's actions in Bedminster, what boxes were taken there, what they contained, how they were kept at the golf club. This silence suggests that there might be more to come from the famously hard-charging Smith. Smith gets rave reviews from all of these communists working in the regime media. He's just, yeah, just wonderful. Now, Durham, not so much. Okay, Durham, he's biased. But Smith, oh, boy, he's hard charging. He's relentless. Just like Peter Strzok was. Just like John Brennan. Just like Comey. Just like Clapper. Just like all of Obama's people. I mean, when they go after you, they go for the jugular. Quite unlike the weak Republicans. 25 of them can't even bring themselves to vote for censure of Adam Schiff, a serial liar. 25 vote against. I think two or three were gone, not present. 20 voted against. 25 in total. Can't even get all the Republicans on board with censuring and fining Adam Schiff. What a message that would have sent. After all of the lies that led to impeachments even, that led to three-year investigations. Schiff was out there keeping it going. He was living the lie. He'd go down to the skiff. He'd examine the classified documents. Probably took some home with him. He'd examine the classified documents. Then he'd run to CNN and say, I've seen it. I've seen evidence that Donald Trump colluded with Russia, with Putin. He's a spy for Putin. He's serving Putin. He's doing Putin's bidding. That's what Schiff said for years. I mean, that guy lies and lies and lies as a matter of routine. But the Republicans, no, they just can't. They can't go in for the jugular. Not at all. You listen to some of the statements from those running for the Republican ticket, Mike Pence and others. And just see how weak it is with respect to this travesty that's happening in southern Florida and the masterful misdirect. You've got Jim Jordan and a few others talking about the bribery scheme. But all the other networks, zero seconds. not even a mention. Too busy talking about handling documents. That's the most important story in the United States right now. Handling documents. Sundance is the one that brought up this point about the Obama letter that evidently Trump took with him. Obama mentions Kim Jong-un. He mentions North Korea. He mentions the nuclear threat. And so that may well have been the perfect setup. Obama's the one. I mean, NARA, just going by the Obama judge from 2012, has no power, no authority to tell a president which documents or records that need to be kept, you know, with NARA or with the president. The president is deciding that. How did NARA, all of a sudden, just 2 years ago, get so much power? Well, because Barack Hussein Obama said that, hey, this is how we can take him down. Look at how he's handling those documents. And then, of course, you get the DOJ involved and so on. And then Trump's people, for their part, I mean, they were so cooperative, letting them come in and out and so on. Notice that NARA had knowledge of these documents. This is Sundance at Conservative Treehouse. NARA had knowledge these documents were in possession of Trump and were pertinent to their archive retrieval. We know from President Trump describing the letter left to him by the former president that Obama told Trump in the letter that the number one foreign policy and intelligence threat perceived by Obama at the time of his exit was a nuclear-armed North Korea. This is where you overlay the Jack Smith writing in the indictment of national defense secrets and nuclear security issues. See, Obama talked about nuclear security issues in the letter that he gave to Trump and that Trump took with him, a personal letter. You know, where Obama talked about, like we point out in AUA, he talked about, you know, this is going to be a nice, smooth transition. I'm here to help you. Total lie. He was investigating and spying on Trump at the moment he wrote the letter. And we now can see that the letter itself may have been a setup. Pretty good commentary coming from Sundance. Listen to this. Speaking of bad commentary, let's note this. This is from CNN defending. Here's maybe the one mention with respect to Biden. It's not even having to do with the bribery scheme, but it was about Trump's comments the other day about how that Biden was behind this investigation. Biden was behind the DOJ raid on Mar-a-Lago and so on. Listen to this whopper from CNN, clip two.
There is no indication, no evidence whatsoever that President Biden is somehow behind these charges. They were brought by a special counsel and approved by a Florida grand jury of ordinary citizens. Then this claim about Biden and the 1,850 boxes. Look, Biden is under his own special counsel investigation because he did take some number of classified documents from his time prior to being elected president. But these 1850 boxes, Jake, are not 1850 classified boxes. What they are boxes of records from his 36 years in the U.S. Senate. Senators, unlike presidents, own their own office's records. They can do whatever they want.
Oh, I get it. So senators can do whatever they want, but the president of the United States can't. I see. Is that how it works? That's CNN. The 1850 boxes, I mean, Biden can do whatever he wants with those, but Donald Trump, he can't take a personal letter from Barack Obama down to Mar-a-Lago. Certainly not. These people are deranged. It doesn't even make sense. Who has more authority in the United States of America, a president or a senator? And before that, now there's no truth to Biden being behind this investigation into Trump or Biden being behind the indictment. Listen to this from John Solomon. This was from August. This was around the time of the Mar-a-Lago raid. And this was a revelation just 7-8 months ago, clip 12.
This is a big story because they knew. They told us they didn't know anything, but the Biden White House knew.
Yeah, not only did they know, they were pushing the investigation. They gave the permission to the National Archives to send the original boxes of documents that Donald Trump had sent back to the archives to the FBI. That launches the criminal investigation. They then give the archives the permission, Joe Biden's blessing, to waive the president's best legal defense by saying he can't claim executive privileges over this. The current president will not allow it to happen. All that occurs long before a grand jury drops a subpoena on President Trump's lawyers in May and June, and long before the raid. The Biden White House is at the ignition point of this investigation, and it's ironic because if you remember back in 2019 and 2020, it was the Biden Democrats that were complaining about efforts to start an investigation of Hunter Biden. Now they're caught doing the same thing, trying to push an investigation of their political rival, the opposition leader of the party, likely to face him in 2024.
They were pushing for the investigation. The Biden White House, that would be Barack Hussein Obama. Joe Obama, and then the CNN guy yesterday. There's no truth to that whatsoever. And as for the 1,850 boxes, I mean, senators can do whatever they want. That's CNN. This is CNN. Just the news from August. The memos show then White House Deputy Counsel Jonathan Suh was engaged in conversations with the FBI, DOJ, and National Archives as early as April, shortly after 15 boxes of classified and other materials were voluntarily returned to the Federal Historical Agency from Trump's Florida home. It says, by May, Suh conveyed to the archives that President Joe Biden would not object to waiving his predecessor's claims of to executive privilege, a decision that opened the door for DOJ to get a grand jury to issue a subpoena compelling Trump to turn over any remaining materials he possessed from his presidency. It was Joe Obama from the very beginning that triggered the investigation, that unleashed this latest attack on the bad orange man, Donald John Trump. It's all, you go back to the root cause, or all roads, as Sundance has said, all roads lead to Obama. That, in essence, is what this book is all about. America under attack. That's all that we have time for on today's show. Unfortunately, you are viewing Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Feedback, we appreciate it. TD@thetrumpet.com. Thank you for joining us on today's show. We'll see you tomorrow.